Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, today we're going to learn about giving. And it's not about the money, Lord God. It's about giving of ourselves. It's about abandoning our ideas of what we think we deserve and our worth as far as that's concerned. And think about the incredible gift that you gave of your life on the cross for us. And Lord, somehow that transfers into us in a whole philosophy of giving where we just don't hold back. We're able to just engage totally in the love that you have, the love that you have for us. We show that same love toward our neighbor. And I pray today that through the power of your Holy Spirit that we'll leave this place with a whole different perspective of what it means not only to be a good Samaritan, but to be a good neighbor, to be a real believer in Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you're going to do, and we give all praise and honor and glory to you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan makes you wonder, what will it take for us to come to that level of selflessness? What would it take for you to abandon some of the ideas that you've had at various times of what you think you deserve and what you've received in exchange? And the story that Jesus told does not fall under the category of a parable, but rather the reality that we will all daily, what we all see daily, and we will get a chance to choose how we will engage with the tragedy that others suffer. And it doesn't have to be a tragedy, it's just a fact of misfortune, or maybe they just need something, and we're willing to give it. Here's the three things we'll talk about today. Number one, do you struggle with the decisive example that Jesus gave for us to model as his disciples? You know, it's tough, because a lot of the things that we feel threatened by and intimidated by in our culture now, that you just say, well, you don't know who's a safe person. And you don't know how far to go or to what degree you can go without putting yourself in jeopardy. But I want you just to table that for a moment as we go through a few other things and see if you can kind of adjust the way you think. Number two, are you willing to adjust your lifestyle choices to come into alignment with generous giving? Oh boy. Every time you talk about giving, some people just kind of wince, saying, oh, they're talking about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving. And if you associate giving with money, you got a problem. No, you really do. Because the idea immediately just goes to your checkbook. Oh, God, help you. Oh, my Lord and Jesus. Because there's something wrong with that. Because what you're doing is you're equating your worth to a dollar amount. And Jesus never did that. He never did. Number three, does the fear of lack or not having enough prevent you from engaging in the joy of generous giving? Whoa. There it is. Because if I give to you, I won't have enough. And so we stop doing it. Or we never do it. Well, you'll never get what you want until you give what you have. How you like that one? I don't know where that came from, but it came. I put it down anyway. Here we go. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Oh, doesn't that sound great? You stingy folks don't stand a chance. Because stingy will evoke stingy.
Amen.
Generosity will evoke generosity.
Amen.
That's just how it works. And you wonder why you don't have nothing? What have you given lately? Well, this could get rough, but we'll work on it. Here's the statement that caught me out of this whole story is the Bible says, the Samaritan chose to come where he was. It's always a choice to get involved. You know how people can say, hey, the riffraff, I don't really choose to engage. With those types of people, they're just not my kind of folk. Really? Who made you Snow Queen? I don't get it. I mean, it's interesting to me. Well, anyway, he chose the path that led to inconvenience. We talked about this. and a change of his own plans. I don't know whether I'm somewhat methodical, and I like things kind of in a certain parameter. But I've learned that God doesn't send interruptions, he sends opportunities. And sometimes we will shirk off an opportunity in the fact that we try to use our plan to supersede God's plan. I believe that every day when we commit our life to the Lord, that he will have opportunities for us to get involved with his kingdom work. And I want to encourage you to get involved with that. Well, what about this? Like David's choice, he chose to do something that was true investment into someone's life. You know, David chose it many times to get involved with folks. You know, it's a choice. It's one of those things. And this man, the Samaritan, chose to get involved with suffering. The Bible says those that live godly will suffer persecution. I'm not talking about that type. I'm talking about where you voluntarily put yourself at a disadvantage when you just kind of move on and forget about it. Well, he got personally involved. And the part that I love about this story says, and he bandaged this fellow's wounds. I'll never forget one time we were over in the Dominican Republic. And one of my lifelong desires was, when I was called in the ministry, I was called in the ministry when I was 16 years old. And I always wanted to be a doctor. And then Jesus called me to the ministry. And I was so disappointed. And this, until the Lord told me, you'll be a doctor of souls. But then when I got to the Dominican Republic, I got to be a doctor. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Because over there, they couldn't throw me, they wouldn't sue me and put me in jail for what I was doing. So I got to scrape out a few wounds and this type of thing, put on Band-Aids and that type of thing. I made it to heaven. You know, the thing that we realize that God doesn't take away, he's just given us an opportunity to trust him to work all this stuff out. There are things you are pining over right now that God's going to take care of. Would you trust him with it? And give your life to him. Well, he bandaged his wounds and he chose to walk while the man rode on his beast. Now, we're not good at that. I don't know. I'll let him ride a little while, then I'm going to ride a little while. But I'm not going to give it up totally. You know, half-baked folks don't get far. Give it up. Let Jesus really work in your life. And so part of the fact was he put himself not only to the inconvenience, but can you imagine when you know you can ride, you're walking? It's immediately when we just allow ourselves, someone else, to have the benefit of what we own. Did that register with anybody? Amen. Work with it a while, it will. And he stayed with him while he ministered to him for a day. Then the Samaritan paid forward to take care of this man's needs and make sure that he left the inn when he was whole. That little idea about paying things forward, I really think it found itself, its roots in the Bible. Because Jesus paid forward for all of our sins. Didn't he do that? The Bible said he died once and for all. Only one time, one person took care of everybody's sin. Nobody was excluded. There's nothing you can do or say that Jesus hasn't taken care of it. Come on. But we're so selective. There's some people, we don't want them to be blessed. Yeah, stay quiet. That's good. That's good. Some of us want to hang around to see the response to people to things that we gave them. You didn't give nothing. It wasn't about them, it was about you. Let me watch them open. I want to see the surprise on their face. Then it wasn't about them, it's about you feeling good. What is wrong with us? Let it go. Because you haven't given it away until you've given it away. You see, how does that apply? Well, the man who went about his business, who stopped, paused, set this man up. He went about and he says, you know what? Take care of this. Here's some money. Take care of it. I've got to move on with my life. And if there's more that's involved, I'll take care of it the next time you see me. I don't think we know how to be blessed. I'm going to help you. One of the ways you get blessed is when you let go and let God finish the job. He received his reward when he chose to stop and enter his suffering. And some of us want to get more residual than we're entitled to. Let it go. Well, the message that you find in that particular verse is, given it will be given to you. Jesus will reward you for your sincere giving, and he will give you more than you gave. And actually, the standard of your measure will determine how you will receive in return. A little example today. I need somebody to give me $20. Who wants to give me $20? Now, notice the word I said, give, not loan. Anybody want to give me $20? First person, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God, thank you. Now, I want somebody who needs $20 to stand up. Go ahead, you need $20. Here you go, Rose. I don't owe her nothing, and she got something she wasn't expecting. That's how giving works.
Amen.
She gave it to me, I gave it to her. All you are is a transfer unit.
Thank you.
Some of you will get this after you've had lunch. Because we don't know how to give. You know, I said, when I told her to give me $20, I put that in my pocket and just gone with the message. And you say, man, what is wrong with him? You are just a conduit through which God uses you to help other people. And by the time we finish today, it's not about giving. It's not about getting, don't worry, I'm not going to take an offering. Oh, somebody else wants to give me some money. Woo, gee. Oh, she's going to get some more, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Uh-oh. I done started something. You know why you didn't get anything? Because you were too proud to admit you needed it. Oh, Jesus, help me now. Well, here we go. Giving is more than an emotional assessment of what is needed. Uh-oh, here we go again. God does. Oh, praise God. Uh-oh. I'm just going to let God do what he's going to do right now. And you know something about this? It's not tax deductible. Yes! Have mercy. Rose, here you go. I'm not going to keep a dime. So take that to Rose. There you go. Oh. Whoa. I had no idea. I had no idea. I had no idea. Yeah. We must use caution and not use our preferences and standards to determine how and what we give. What you just saw happen, I had no reason to believe it would go to that particular dimension. But I hope you catch from what you saw how it works.
Amen.
It wasn't about Rose. It wasn't about the people that gave to her. It was about Jesus touching your heart.
Amen.
To send you the right direction to make a difference in somebody's life. Let me move a little bit forward. We respond to the nature of Jesus within us when we submit ourselves to release time and resources that are under our management. Every person came here to give to you, that money that you have was yours and couldn't nobody take it away from you. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, let go.
Amen.
Let go. I cannot tell you, and I won't tell you today, of all the different times when the Lord's directed me to give something, and before I could even turn around, he'd given back to me multiplicity of the time that I'd given out, and I didn't do it for that reason. But see, folks, you don't know what you're missing. And it's not the money, it's just the fact of the relationship. Let's move on to the grace of generous giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. This is a great scripture. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. Oh, that's interesting. If you think you know something, you don't really think you know what you think you know. But also, actually, the scripture I was looking for was in 2 Corinthians. This is what it actually says, but it says that in the trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy, their poverty, their deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. That's what the actual scripture should have been, but that one will work as well. But in great affliction. And there's something about giving when you don't think you can. Or when you're kind of under attack or you're just kind of depressed. You don't feel like giving. You want to hibernate. You just want to survive. But the particular text of the scripture was the church was under great oppression. And they were trying to do everything to shut it down. And some of the people that back in those days had lost their jobs or their means of income because they were believers. You say, well, that's really not what's happening. Our economy is the best it's ever been in the last 18 years. And it looks like, you know, the Dow Jones is above 2,500 and blah, 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 blah. Really? Is that your barometer of success? What about the richness of your soul? Well, I got to take you to a place over in Genesis that will help us understand this. God has always required our best when we give in his name. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. This will just add a different perspective. And it came in the process of time. It came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Theologically, there's a lot to be said about this particular portion of scripture. But I will tell you, in the simplicity of it all, here are the two first men on the young people on the earth. One of them, there came a time that it doesn't give all the backdrop to it, but there came a time that there was going to be an offering. And I don't know all the history behind it, but something about it, God kept one offering and did not respect the other one. And there's a lot of theological debate as to why it happened, But I'll just weigh in on this, that giving is one of the most natural acts of worship to the Lord. Let's take it to the worship category first. We worship with our giving. If that be the case, then consider this. God so loved that he gave his best. And we have not worshiped or we have not given until we've given our best. It's like you have a choir that doesn't like to do rehearsals. We just gonna trust the Lord when we get up there. We're gonna find the key. We're gonna find what key we're gonna be in. We're gonna find the rhythm. Come on, brother Paul, take us up a little higher. I'm gonna leave it alone because Badruza knows I can tell you some stories about folks. Start in any key at any rhythm, expect you to find them. Yeah. Yeah, anyway. It seems that if God gave his best, he should desire the best from us. Well, true giving is always an expression of what is in the heart. And that means that this story here is so Cain and Abel, they come before the Lord, and somehow there was an expectation from God that they would bring their best. I'm going to speculate on this. You can speculate your own way. I'll do mine. Mine's better than yours. No. But here's what I came up with. There was a sacrifice that needed to happen, and from the very beginning of time, when man sinned, the only thing that could atone for man's sin was the shedding of blood. Cain somehow deduced, God wants an offering and a sacrifice, and I'm good at raising pomegranates or turnips. For God's sake, or maybe even parsnips. I hate parsnips. Don't ever send me parsnips if you want to be my friend. My wife will tell you one time she made a roast and she puts parsnips in it. I said, baby, don't ever put parsnips in with my roast. Anyway, there came a time that I believe that God was demanding an offering, and I believe Cain bought parsnips. That's just a theory. No, he brought some fruit from the ground. But his brother Abel got it. And he brought the best of his flock, he slaughtered it, and brought it as an offering to the Lord. The only thing I can deduce from this is, from the seed of that particular, whatever he brought, he could grow more parsnips or more carrots or more onions or more whatever it was. But once that animal's dead, it's dead. Once and for all. I want to tell you about your worship. You only get one chance to do it. You say, well, because as you're worshiping, they say, well, I probably should have done this. No, honey, it's either you give up all or you give nothing at all. Amen. That's what worship is all about. You don't half-heartedly worship God. I'm going to give him half staff today because I'm not feeling so good. Next week, I'll give him this much, but right now, I'm at 50%. Forget about you. Give him all you got and the best that you've got. Well, true worship or true giving is always an expression of what's in the heart. A blood sacrifice was expected, and God respected Abel's sacrifice, but not the one from Cain. Well, presumption was the key attitude that fostered the rejection of Cain's offering. You know what his presumption was? Oh, that's good enough. God doesn't care. As long as I give him something, it ought to be enough. Well, when Cain's offering was rejected, his true motives were revealed. Cain was ticked. Now, if you know what tick means, he was mad. He's upset. He says, what's God doing to reject my offering for? I gave him the best parsnips I had. But your best, when you know God requires something greater than that, will never make it. Okay. His actions resulted in something that was in his heart. Read the rest of the story when you get time. He was so mad because his brother was accepted and he wasn't, that he went out and killed him. The first murder was predicated on one person that was not able or did not make the right decision as far as how to worship. And the only way he says, I know how to fix it, so I will be the head of the class. I'll kill my brother. Does that make any sense? And some of you are sitting here real pious. Oh, I'd never do that. You do it all the time. What? You try to dismiss the fact that you're not really totally engaged when you worship the Lord. And it comes through giving. And I'll show you this, and I'm just about done. Here's what happened. The poverty or lack of resources will never exclude us from giving. What that means is, from the world's perspective, our ability to give is based on the resources that we have in the bank or our assets. That sounds logical. But joy and deep poverty seem incompatible, but actually are the partners to keep our hearts open to the things of the spirit of giving. Some of you told me, I'm too poor to give. When I pay my bills, if I got something left over, I'll give something to God. You got it backwards. You give something to God, then you pay your bills, and I guess you'll have more than what you had thought you had. Stop putting God at the end of the train. So, well, if I do that, I'll be in the streets. Really? I don't think so. I really don't believe that. Because it doesn't, show me in Scripture how that works. It's not in there. Well, you need a scripture. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Oh, this will bury some of you skeptics. Jesus watching when we are willing to go sacrifice giving. He looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, do not spend this in a particular way that I'm expecting you to empty your bank account today. That is not my plan. So, rest, okay? But here's the deal. Think about it this way. The woman had two mites. And according to the way they're calculating things, think of it this way. She had two mites that would amount to a penny. How do you tithe off a penny? You can't tithe. She says, well, I'm not going to worry about this. She says, she was so decisive about giving. She says, I might as well not hold on to this. It's not really doing me. Let me just give it all to God and see what he's going to do. I never thought about that. I was doing some reading and research. I said, oh my goodness. This woman is smarter than all of us. Why would I hold on to two mites? I can't even buy anything with it. It's all that I have. Let me just give it to God and see what he's going to do. See that little bit you're holding on, you're trying to spin it and make something with it? God is going to say, if you just give it to me, watch me. Rose, you don't mind me using it as an example. You had no idea what God was going to do for you today. She put a penny in the offering. That's all she had. That's what she put in today. Folks, this is not rigged. I didn't say anything to her before then, but she put a penny in the offering. What did God do? And I want you to count up that money you got, and I want you to tell us before you leave this room. No, just count it up now. Because I want to show y'all something. That God knows about your situation better than you do. No. And I don't want you folks out there, all you folks get fixed up on the money. But I just want to show you something about God's grace and God's mercy. And God's power in the house. This was not rigged at all. I didn't tell her anything. I promise you that. But it's interesting, and I'm going to, just about to finish in the next moment or two, but consider this. The widow did not see herself exempt from giving because she did not even have the amount to tithe on. See, some of you think of it that way. Well, I don't have any money, so I can't give any, or Well, oh, give me another amen. I like that. We must not justify our inability to give based upon what we have left over, but always put God first. Well, there's a great freedom in giving that we cannot connect it with, that we can connect it with the will of God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. Here we go. And not only as we had hoped, here's the part, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Before you leave here today, I want to resolve your giving issues once and for all. I would challenge you, give yourself to God. You say, I'm already saved. I'm talking about how saved you are. That's a guarantee. But if you give yourself to the Lord, something else will happen.
Amen.
Some of you are saved, your pocketbook is not.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Some of you are saved, your pocketbook is not. Oh, yeah. We must surrender our will to the Lord so we can be used for His glory. We must not be afraid of being taken for granted or misused, and giving will always be a grace from the Lord for the benefit of advancing His kingdom.
Amen.
Those are tremendous things. Well, when we give, there are no guarantees. Uh-oh. Luke chapter 10, verses 36 and 37. So which of these neighbors was a neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Here's the part right here. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. How do I meld both of these stories together? Go and do likewise. Be sensitive to the fact that God is going to give you an opportunity that you've never had before to be an example of giving in these days to come. I know Christmas is a time of year when people want to do things and want to feel good and toy drives and other types of things that they have. Can you go a little deeper than that? These last few things, it says, we would not expect to be compensated accurately in proportion to what we have given. If God compensated us in proportion to what we've given, some of you wouldn't have a dime. I mean, I say in proportion to what you got and what you've given. What does that mean? That Jesus gave us freely of his life. He gave us the sacrifice. He knew that there would be those who would abuse the gift. That's no reason not to give. The Lord is asking us to be willing to extend ourselves for the benefit of others without the expectation that we will be appreciated. Oh, this is going to cut deep. Some of you stop giving because they don't appreciate what I gave them. Really? So it really wasn't about you giving to them, it was about you being appreciated. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I know this is going to be rough. He said, thank God he's not preaching next week. I may preach anyway. You never know what I might do. Anyway. We must not regret the things that we have done to help others that were not appreciated or acknowledged. We must do everything as a servant of Jesus. Question, was Jesus ever not appreciated? Really? They killed him. They kilted him, whatever. That's what little kids say. They kilted him. Okay, yes, they kilted him. Here's the last scripture. I'm a couple minutes over. It'll be okay. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. This will help you. But Jesus called them to himself and says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall be not so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him become your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Would you stop your diva spirit of having to be served and recognized and appreciated and all other type of thing, all those other type of things? I think Jim Elliot said it probably the best way that I've ever heard it in my life. He said it this way: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. When you die, somebody's going to be driving your car, sleeping in your bed, and enjoying what's in your bank account. Because when you're dead, baby, you're dead. Why not take some authority right now and become a blessing for the kingdom of God? Rose, how much money did you get? If you didn't hear it, $542. She gave one penny, and God gave her $542. Sit down. It's not about the money.
Amen.
It's about the obedience. And I'm here to set some folks free. It's not all about the money. Everybody bow your heads right now. Because I want some people here today who don't know Jesus, and some of you who thought you knew him when you walked in, now you realize, ooh, I don't know who Jesus is. But you can have a real relationship when you choose to give yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Of this house. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we're preparing to leave out of this building, I sense the Holy Spirit saying to some people that are here, today is your day to give yourself to Jesus. Today is your day to surrender everything you have to him. And I know the hardest part of it is money. That's why the Lord seemingly goes for the jugular with some of us. Because in the economy we're having now, there's greater job growth and opportunities and this type of thing. And you know what will happen? We'll forget about Jesus. The more we get is the more we think we deserve. And that's just not true. But I want to go into the depths of the hearts of some people sitting here right now that even after you got your last raise and your last promotion, somehow it didn't reach down into the heart of who you are. And still the weight of sin, the weight of other things that have been in your life, you really can't enjoy it. I want to invite you to come to Jesus today, not asking for anything, but for the fact of being forgiven for not really acknowledging his great gift for you. I'm going to pray over people today who are hurting. I want to pray over some people today who have backslidden away from the Lord. You haven't been to church or you haven't given yourself back to Jesus. You just kind of come whenever you feel like it. I want to tell you, stop doing that. Every opportunity you get to come to the house of God, you be here.
Amen.
Don't be picking and choosing. Well, yeah, I guess it's Christmas, I need to go. No, you need to be here every week. You need to be involved in the things of the kingdom of God. And your life will change for the better. And your health will change for the better. And your children will change for the better. Today, I want to invite you to come to Jesus in a whole new and fresh way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to rebuke the curse off of people's lives who have been so self-contained and they've been so selfish motivated that they haven't really given themselves to the Lord. People who've made commitments to Jesus years ago have forgotten all about them, who made a commitment to God 2 weeks ago and somehow it's not the same as it was. Today, I want to tell you, give yourself to God in a whole different dimension.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.